KUTX 98.9 live in Studio 1A. This is Jody Denberg with a house full of concert club members. Thank you all for being here. I'll thank you once. I'll thank you twice. We appreciate your support. Thanks to Cliff Hargrove and Jake Perlman for being our engineers. And thanks to this entire band and their maestro leader for being here today. Amazing new record called So You Want to Be an Outlaw. This gentleman has been in this room before, but never with a bunch of players like this. This is so exciting. We're actually going to hear a couple of songs, and then we'll catch up live on KUTX. Please welcome Steve Earle and the Dukes.
So you wanna be an outlaw, buddy, listen to me. Living on the highway ain't everything it's supposed to be. Everybody reckons that they wanna be free. Ain't nobody wants to be alone. Running down the alley at a quarter to three. Hollering for Sally, honey, what are you trying to do to me? She said, go to hell, I'm going back to Tennessee. I said, Angel, you can never go home. Never go home. Never go home. If you want to be an outlaw, you can never go. Up, kid. Steal $1 million and you have a key to hit. Ain't no place to spend it in the desert if you did. Can't take it with you when you do. Something always waiting for you up around the bend. Everything goes around, come back around again. Ain't just anybody, not a lover or a friend. Your mama maybe, then you never know. Never do know. If you wanna be an outlaw, then you never do know. Better think twice, better not pout, better not cry. Don't nobody give a damn about you when you die, but the devil when the compass do. If you're standing at the crosses, don't you try to flag a ride. Don't you fall on your knees, don't you know that's already been tried. Hate to tell you, but the only upside is sing a devil out of the blues. Singing the blues, keep on singing the blues. In the soul, you say you wanna be an outlaw. Hey, hey.
Summertime, which means it is burn season, and unfortunately Austin's learned a lot about that in the last several years. So right now, all the way across the country, young men and some young women who are not afraid to be around that many smelly guys in the backcountry for a while are loading up their equipment and getting into trucks and going out to fight those fires, probably protecting some rich guy's house that should have never built it there in the first place. And they call those, they do it in 20-man teams nowadays, because they've discovered it's the best way to do it, and they are called hotshot crews, and this is for them. This is called the firebreak line. Well, I'm cutting out a firebreak line. Cutting out a firebreak line, digging down deep to the claim. I'm cutting out a firebreak line. Well, I'm a wop-wop-wop-boo on the Yellow Mountain Hot Shot crew. I can swamp and bail, walk through hell. I'm an EMT and a torchman too. The wind's blowing hot and dry, box and the sand just fly. I'll make a stand for any good man. Better man or brother you'll never find. Got their back and they got mine. When we're walking through the firebreak line, well, I'm cutting out a firebreak line. Cutting out a firebreak line. Digging down deep to the plain line. Cutting out a firebreak line. Invented this thing like an axe I swing, and it never left a member of his crew behind. When a dog come across the line, took him down in an abandoned mine. Then he drew his gun, said to shoot the first one. Got it in his head to try to go outside. Got everybody out alive. Cutting out a firebreak line. Cutting out a firebreak line. Cutting out a firebreak line. Digging down deep to the plain line. Cutting out a firebreak line. Firebreak line, digging down deep to the clayin line, cutting out a firebreak line. Better pray that the wind will die and the air rains down from on high. And let's raise a glass to hot shots pass and hot shot heaven up above the sky. Looking down on me when I'm cutting out a firebreak line. Man, I'm cutting out a firebreak line, cutting out a firebreak line. Digging down deep to the clay line, cutting out a firing line. Man, I'm cutting out a firing line, cutting out a firing line. Digging down deep to the clay line, cutting out a firing line.
The Mighty Dukes.
And Mr. Steve Earle, live on KETX. Thank you for being here, y'all. Started with the title track to the new album, So You Want to Be an Outlaw. Where'd you come up with that phrase? It kind of sounds like a challenge to younger people, or maybe not.
Which one, want to be or outlaw? It's more about trying to rehabilitate the term outlaw in the first place, and there's all these terms that come up in music. One of them, rockabilly, was one. I don't think anybody called that music that at that moment. And outlaw was another one. People decided that these guys were outlaws, and you know, a journalist in Australia asked me the other night, said, "Was really about your lifestyle, and what was going on, what you were doing besides playing music, wasn't it?" I said, "No, it actually wasn't. It was about Doug Somm comes back from California, Willie Nelson comes back from Nashville, and Doug basically tells Jerry Wexler that if he wants to make progressive country records, he should sign Willie Nelson." And Doug also suggested to Willie that he play Armadillo World Headquarters. And this whole thing happened. And what it was about was Waylon Jennings sees that going on. And he meets Billy Joe Shaver, makes a whole record of Billy Joe Shaver songs called The Honky Tonk Heroes. Yeah. And what it was about was artistic freedom. They realized that rock acts had a freedom in making their own records that they didn't have. And they wanted to do that. And you know, George Jones wasn't going to the liquor store on a lawnmower in the middle of the night, 3:30 in the morning. There's no liquor stores open at 3:30 in the morning. He was going someplace else to get something else. And it's just people, country singers did that illegal stuff. It was just, but what they didn't do was try to tell the people that ran the record labels how they should be making their records. So that's why they got branded outlaws.
And how nice for us that So You Want to Be an Outlaw was recorded in Austin, and the title track features Willie Nelson. First time you ever recorded in Austin?
It was, yeah. I mean, I played here. It's really weird because we're across the street from what was my musical home in Austin for years was the Hole in the Wall. That's where I played. That was kind of the, I mean, if I was playing any place else, I was opening for somebody. And not need that. I played Castle Creek every once in a while, opening for Towns or Guy. Or I played the Saxon Pub once, I think. But that was my home across the street. But I, you know, I was here. I was at the Dripping Springs reunion. I was at the first 4th of July picnic as a ticket holder, both of the cases. And I think it was my fault that Billy Joe Shaver at the first picnic did the show without part of his band, because me and Danny Epps were in the back of the way at the back of the crowd smoking a joint, and he looked up and goes, "Oh, Billy Joe's on." And so Billy Joe's never let me forget about it either. So it's, you know, basically what happened is I found myself with guys that used to kick my ass standing in the middle of a cow pasture listening to the same music. And that's the Texas that I left, you know, in 1974.
You came back to make this record.
It's just, you know, it was made since. Also, my grandkids are in Austin, so they got to see them. So that's pretty. That was pretty cool. Austin's changed probably. Austin and Nashville, is, oddly enough, have changed more, you know, in the same period of time than any cities I've ever seen. Grown more. And you got to go pretty far south and east to get the Mexican food I grew up on these days. I'm sorry, when I see black beans, I turn around and walk out. I like refried beans with lard. That's, you know, what I grew up on. So.
And another full circle thing, you're back on Warner Brothers after about 20 years. Does that enter into the creative process at all?
No, because, I mean, I'm on Warner because Cameron Strang is running Warner now. He owns New West and it still has an interest in it. He signed me there, and he signed me at Warner. So that's what that was all about. This record, I knew what it was going to be before I knew what label I was going to be on, to tell you the truth. I made a blues record, writing a certain type of song for that. Sean Colvin and I made a record, writing a certain kind of song for that. And basically, T. Boone Burnett asked me to write a song for the Nashville TV show, which I've never seen, but I read the script, and I wrote a song called If Mama Could Have Seen Me, which is about a guy. Well, he wanted the song for one of the characters had a brother getting out of prison, and he wanted the song that the brother had written while he was locked up. For some reason, he thought I was the guy for that job. And so I wrote that, and then the second season, Buddy Miller asked me to write something, and that ended up to be Looking for a Woman. And I set those songs aside, but in the middle of the Colvin and Earl tour, I realized, oh, I got to make another record. And I got those two songs out, and I listened to them. These hang together. And I realized what would happen. Just like there's Beatles records, Stones records, Dylan records that I listen to in, you know, sort of a 4 or 5 year rotation, one of the records I listen to like that's Honky Tonk Heroes. And I'd been listening to Honky Tonk Heroes. So I found myself on the back pickup of a Fender Telecaster for most of the record and channeling Waylon Jennings shamelessly. And I don't pretend to have any original musical ideas when it gets right down to it. So it was.
Well, you dedicated the record to Waylon. And if we're going to call this a country record, I hear your wheels are already turning perhaps for something a little more political next time
around. Well, this record didn't turn out to be very political because I didn't know this was going to happen. I mean, we went on stage in Ottawa, I guess we were, thinking that we were going to, you know, I supported Bernie Sanders until he was out of the race. I think pretty much everybody up here did. And I know three people that definitely did. And we just, you know, we thought, well, okay, this will be okay. We're going to come off having elected the first woman president of the United States. And we came off and we'd elected the first orangutan president of the United States. And I was, it was sort of shocking. And it took a while to recover from it. And I thought about trying to just cook up some songs to make this a political record. But I decided it was finished. I felt like it was finished. And I decided to stick with it. And the next record is going to be just as country as this one is, and way more political, which I think will be interesting and useful at this point in our history. So.
Well, we appreciate you being here today. I know how hard this band and you have been working over the last few days, a couple of nights at the Whitewater Amphitheater. You were in Houston, Willie's Picnic. So to have everyone here, I want to thank the band. I want to thank them individually, in fact. Eleanor Whitmore was playing fiddle on the last song, and she's got the mandolin right now. And Chris Masterson was playing lead electric on the last song. He's got the acoustic right now. They're the Mastersons, and they have a great new album called Transient Lullaby as well. Back there on the drums, we have Mr. Brad Pemberton. Thank you, Brad. Ricky Ray Jackson on the pedal steel, so you know it's a country record.
From Austin, Texas.
Kelly Looney on the bass. So the new album is called So You Want to Be an Outlaw. It's Steve Earle and the Dukes. And what were you going to close with today?
This song is called Goodbye Michelangelo. We lost Guy Clark last year, y'all. And it was a big deal for me and a lot of other people. But he'd been sick for a long time. It wasn't unexpected, but it was hard. He was too tough for his own good. And I thought he would go when Susanna passed away. And within a few months, it didn't happen. He was too tough. You know, he spent the last few years of his life co-writing with all these younger writers that I'd never met before. And we had a wake in Nashville. I met all these guys that had been writing with him. And they'd learned something from him. And they'd kept him going. And so we took, don't ever mouth off about what you want done with your remains around Terry Allen. Because we only have Terry's word for this, but Terry swore that Guy said that he wanted to be his ashes to be entombed in a bronze of Terry's creation. So that's Terry's day job. So Guy's on Terry's mantle as far as I know right now, because Terry's and Marfa, they're celebrating, and Terry and Joe Harvey are celebrating their 55th anniversary. I think he's going to go back and get to work on the bronze after that's over with. But we took Guy's ashes in a tour bus, me, Rodney Crowell, Sean Camp, and took them to Santa Fe, to Terry's, and Lyle Lovett, and Robert Earl Keane, and Emmy Lou Harris, and Jack Ingram came in. We had another wake, and we sang some more songs and cried some more. And then when I got home, I wrote this.
Blind, just enough to draw a line. Goodbye, maestro, fare thee well. Gone to heaven, been to hell. Maybe just New Mexico. Goodbye, Michelangelo. Farewell, my captain, adios. Sail upon the sea of ghosts. Chase the white whale to the end. Bring the story back again. I'm bound to follow you someday. You have always shown. Goodbye, Michelangelo.
See you when I get there, maestro.
You've been listening to Steve Earle and the Dukes live on KUTX playing songs from their new album, So You Want to Be an Outlaw. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Dukes, for being here. Safe travels to Dallas. We'll see you when we get there. KUTX.